My sermon today is called Confession. It restores our souls. Now, as many of you now know, we had a health scare at the Bear House this week. And I stand before you with honesty and humility to say how grateful Reed and I both are that he is doing well after his heart attack at Fitness 500. He's like famous at the hospital now for Fitness 500, so that's great. Here is how Reed describes what happened to him in his letter to the church. Reed Barrett, your pastor here, still here. Tuesday, after an unremarkable workout at Fitness 500 in Hyannis, I got off my exercise bike, cleaned it, took 10 steps, and feeling dizzy, collapsed. I was found without a pulse, and thanks to some amazing bystanders, was brought back by an AED. And then I skip a little bit. I cannot say enough about the fine West Parish people I keep running into here at the hospital, starting with Matt Tucker and Dr. Mary O'Neill, plus the other dedicated and compassionate staff here who do such a great job. I really could use your prayers, prayers for patients, and healing, of course. Today, I want to let you know that Reed is doing extremely well, and we can expect a complete recovery. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks to the amazing doctors, nurses, and staff at Cape Cod Hospital, especially in the emergency room and the cardiology wing. Reed has a new stent in his left anterior descending artery. For our doctors in the audience, they know what that is. For some of us who are not experts, we learned all about the heart this week, which was great. We are thankful that Matt Tucker and Dr. Mary O'Neill were total rock stars. They held our hands, patiently explained everything through the unknowing into the knowing. We are beyond grateful, and while I hope you do not have to visit the cardiac unit anytime soon, although I know some of you have experienced the strength and skill of the surgical team and care of the staff upstairs in the cardiac wing at Cape Cod Hospital, I can't recommend them enough. It's beyond five-star care. Nothing feels more empowering in a time of crisis than brilliant, capable people finding out answers, fixing problems, and even better, to be surrounded by love. We are so grateful for your prayers, for your patience, and your love. Reed will be back soon. Keep up the care and feeding, heart healthy, of course, of your beloved pastor. I am so glad we have him around for many more years. So now, to today's topic, the theme for the sermon is confession. And I stand before you confessing my own weakness and my gratitude to be here, to have Reed alive, and our deep thankfulness we have for each of you who love us as your pastors and teachers. I confess that I do not know God's ways. On Saturdays, we've been pursuing a sermon series on a church based on Rachel Held Evans' book, Searching for Sunday. Confession is at the center of today's message, and I love this quote from Walter Brueggemann. Churches should be the most honest place in town, not the happiest place in town. I believe that churches must be places where we can be honest with each other, where we can confess our sins, acknowledge our weaknesses and failings, and know that here we are forgiven. Here we are loved. Here we are restored to fullness of life and grace. We are also welcome in all of our brokenness, in our grief, and even in our anger. Rachel Held Evans has some great things to say about what we should be doing at church. In one of my favorite chapters titled Dirty Laundry, Rachel writes, "In many churches, the holiest hour of the week occurs not in the sanctuary on Sunday morning, but in the basement on Thursday night, When a mismatched group of CEOs and single moms, suburbanites and homeless veterans share in the communion of strong coffee and dry pastries and engage in the sacred act of telling the truth. They admit their powerlessness and dependency. They conduct searching and fearless inventories of themselves. They confess to God, to themselves, and to one another the exact nature of their wrongs. They ask for help. And beneath the flickering of fluorescent lights, amidst tears and nervous cough and the faint smell of cigarette smoke, they summon the courage to expose their darkness to the light. My name is Jeremy, and I'm an alcoholic. Every single weekday at 5 o'clock p.m. here at Rest Parish, we have AA. I firmly believe that some of the most important work we do as a church happens at our AA meetings. At AA, everyone names themselves and admits as part of the AA 12-step program a confession. In step number 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs, end quote. One of the reasons why I believe AA focuses on the importance of confession, sometimes better than we practice confession on Saturday evenings and Sunday mornings in our regularly scheduled worship services, is that people bond more over their brokenness than their shared beliefs. Confession is an admission that we are broken, that we are flawed, and we have sinned, and we've fallen short. I don't know how it is for you, but I know that when I confess my feelings of anger to someone else, when I acknowledge that separation to someone else, I have a chance to show my woundedness and change. As Leonard Cohen so beautifully said, cracks are how the light gets in. In our scripture reading from the Gospel according to John, we learn of a woman who was caught in adultery. The crowds wanted to stone her, and yet there's Jesus. I love how Jesus is described here. Jesus doesn't pick up any stones or yell or judge. He knelt down on the ground and drew in the sand. I just love this image of Jesus drawing in the dirt. See, we are made of dirt and clay and dust and stardust. Jesus draws in the dirt and listens. He doesn't condemn. He doesn't hate. He will not agree to any of this ill will of throwing stones. Instead, Jesus does what he is so wont to do throughout the Gospels. He forgives. When the angry mob of teachers and Pharisees cry for stoning the woman, Jesus looks at those men and says, "Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stopped, stooped down, and wrote on the ground. Jesus, he challenges the status quo. Jesus forgives and asks the Pharisees to look into their own hearts and see where they too have sinned. And then Jesus, beloved Jesus, a man who knew how important it was to listen to women, listened again to this woman who was accused of adultery and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." This is Jesus, the man who never sinned, who took on our lot and became human. He ate with us, laughed with us, cried with us, healed the sick, sat with the bereaved. He taught us what it means to confess and to forgive. Therefore, when we wonder what we could do to improve our condition as a church, I suggest we look towards recovery groups. Rachel Held Evans described why she is still a Christian, saying, "I'm a Christian because Christianity names and addresses sin. It acknowledges the reality that evil we observe in the world is also present within ourselves. It tells the truth about the human condition, that we're not okay. When we confess, we admit the raw, naked truth that we're not okay, and then we can heal. If we want to improve church, which I believe is something we can and must do to stay viable for this generation and future generations, we need to act less like country clubs and more like AA. For too long, we have been involved in what Reverend Nadia Boltz-Weber, the rebel Lutheran pastor who founded a church, that's my phone going off, called the Church for All Sinners and Saints. She refers to it as the long, rich Christian tradition, which in Latin is called totally faking it. We need to stop totally faking it. Let's quit faking we are okay. It's not only okay, it's real, authentic, powerful, bold, prophetic, and necessary to name your authentic truth. It's important and human to say, today, I'm not well. Today, I'm grieving and lonely and don't know how to go on without the love of my beloved partner. Today, I'm brokenhearted. Today, I feel like a failure. This kind of church is what I call a brave space. A place where we are brave enough to tell the truth about how we are doing. A place where we confess when we make mistakes and we get right with God and one another. As we think about what a brave space is, a space where we work together to create a space that is supporting and healing and nurturing, listen to this litany of invitation to creating a brave space by Mickey Scott Bay Jones. This is your invitation to a brave space. Together, we will create brave space. Because there's no such thing as safe space. We exist in the real world. We all carry scars and we all have all caused wounds. In this space, we seek to turn down the volume of the outside world. We amplify voices that fight to be heard elsewhere. We call each other to more truth and love. We have the right to start somewhere and continue to grow. We have the responsibility to examine what we think we know. We will not be perfect. This space will not be perfect. It will not always be what we wish it to be, but it will be our brave space. And together, we will work on it side by side. Beloved church, on a hill in West Barnstable, let us become a church of brave space, where all are welcome, broken as we are, and still filled with light and love. Then our church will indeed be a sanctuary where all can come and rest and be transformed by truth-telling. Let the people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.